essentially puts them on a long road leading to a dead end. Several of the people on death row in Maryland today have been on death row for decades, and the family members who came to testify, like Vicky Schieber or Bonita Spikes, said essentially what's happening is that we're kind of selling them a bill of goods. We tell them that there's going to be a death penalty, but because of Supreme Court precedents that impose all kinds of necessary and correct procedural barriers to doing it, people are in death row for many decades, and the family members feel like they don't have a meaningful opportunity to get on with their lives. And what they testified to us, a majority of them that appeared before the committee testified to us, is that it would be a much better use of the valuable resources of the state to assist the families with psychological services, emotional services, financial help when they need it most, in order to rebuild their families and to replace the death penalty with the certainty and the finality of life without the possibility of parole.
Right. Well, you raised a lot of issues there, and some of these are more of a discussion for later down the road. So let's come back to the amendment, I guess, because we can argue whether a regimen of life without parole will end up leading to appeal after appeal and actually end up putting the families through more pain. We could also argue the fact whether we indeed should be trying to fix what we have and say, well, because it's dysfunctional, and we're already admitted now that we only use it sparingly, the governor only uses pardon power sparingly, that maybe we should try to fix it, and maybe it's the application without doing away from it. Those are kind of arguments down the road. Let's come back to the amendment per se. Today, the governor has the power to pardon. He has the power to commute a sentence. That commutation could include parole, a life without parole. It could be life parole. It could be a lesser sentence. It could be time served. There is flexibility in the system. The amendment turns around and says if those pardon powers now become reduced and focused, instead of taking the entire toolbox, we're saying governor's got one tool. Life without parole. Explain that, please.
I beg to differ with that interpretation of the amendment, Senator, for two reasons. In the first place, if we wanted to tie the governor's hands, we couldn't do it because the commutation power, as you've recognized, is an executive power and solely within the discretion of the governor. In any event, what our amendment says is on giving the notice required by the Constitution, the governor may change a sentence of death into a sentence of life without the possibility of parole. So it's discretionary, it's not mandatory, and it's simply to reaffirm and restate our understanding that that is one of the tools in the governor's toolbox.
But why do we have to state in the bill? Why wouldn't we then entertain an amendment from the committee that the governor could do life without parole, the governor could do life, the governor could pick any time frame that they want, the governor could pick time served? Why, if you're saying that we can't restrict the executive branch's power here, have we chosen in this amendment to pick one of the powers that we do it? As a matter of fact, I think it's actually pretty misleading. You know, when you read the language,